Viktor Frankl said, "Everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of the human freedoms. To choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's way." This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson. Stay tuned for the next hour as Sue explores the human psyche, what makes us tick, and how to live better, more fulfilled, and more meaningful lives. Only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, this is Sue Jackson on the Finding Human program. I know that I'd advertised on Facebook and everywhere that I was going to be interviewing Sarah Lister Goodman. I was really looking forward to it. But unfortunately, we're connecting from our studio, but it's not connecting through to her. I think it could be their Wi-Fi or something that's just not on at the moment. So I'm just going to go on anyway for a little while. And what I would like to do is to, I would like to dedicate this program to Daniel Shimon Peres, Rabbi Doron and Shelley Peres' son, who was captured by Hamas on the 7th of October. And unfortunately, he was killed. His funeral was yesterday, and I really would just like to let the family know that South African Jewry is crying with you. Many, many of us, apparently thousands of us, watched the incredibly moving funeral, Daniel's funeral yesterday, and we were all in tears. Daniel was an incredibly brave young man, and we really thank him for the sacrifice he made keeping our country, Israel, safe. I was going to be talking to Sarah about her beloved grandson, and we were going to dedicate this program to him as well, to Yakir Yedidia Shenkolovsky. Shenkolovsky, it's a difficult word for me to pronounce, who passed away, was killed in the IDF in December. But I will definitely get back to Sarah, and we will do another program together. Right now, I think I'm going to talk about resilience and how generational trauma can evolve into generational resilience, which I think is quite amazing. And so many people today, in today's world especially, is showing us this. Now, when I think of Israel, a few of my friends have just come back. Some are going on solidarity trips. Others have just come back. And they have said that they have never felt quite so connected in their lives as they have felt in the last few weeks in Israel. The feeling of unity, of people caring for one another, is absolutely amazing. And then I watch my little granddaughter singing at her gun at her nursery school, and that was singing and dancing and just so incredibly happy. And one of the things it's not like they haven't been into bomb shelters or had to have their hands over their heads. Of course they have. So there is trauma there. But the teachers are going on and just showing the children how to remain calm. And I think that's so important. We all have a duty at this stage to help one another through this. In South Africa today, we Jews are really struggling. Many people are thinking, why are we staying here when we are really not wanted by the government? And many times we have been turned on and our businesses have been targeted. We've been targeted. And when I say we, I mean as Jews. And I think it's time for us also to show one another, and we are doing that, that we care for one another, and whatever happens, we will be there, and we will never allow anyone to be alone in this time. When I say this time, in Sarah's story, which she will tell, it is how she was born in Germany, and her parents were literally one step ahead of the Nazis right through Europe. I would like you to look up her story. You can go onto Les Glassman's, Dr. Les Glassman's website, and look up Sarah Listick Goodman, and you will see that there are two wonderful YouTubes there. One is much longer, which will give you her full talk, and the next one is shorter, both really worth listening to. And then, of course, she's spoken on the Jerusalem, she has posted on Jerusalem Post, and go on and you'll see a very good article, Sarah Listick Goodman, telling the story of the Holocaust, and that I found on Google. So I'd like you to feel that you're not losing out. We will definitely be back with Sarah with that and talking about it. Now, I am a member of a wonderful shul, Lingsfield, and there's been a lot of community work put in, and I really need to thank the people who are involved in doing that. Bernice Burson and our Rabbi Avson and all the people who help Bernice are just absolutely amazing. I think I mentioned last week that one of the things that really has touched my heart, and I especially go a bit earlier, I happen to go to a lecture, a shiur, on one of the days, and as I get there, there's a group coming out from playing kaluki. Now, some of them said they've never played kaluki before. Others say they just like to sit there and watch the others. But what's fantastic is the relationships that people have formed in this time. And this can be a time of great loneliness. It's almost, if you think about it, we came through such dark times anyway with the virus, and we didn't know how we were going to get through that. But once again, even when we couldn't see one another, we were still being able to connect with one another. And now it seems to have gone on that this connection is needed. Yesterday I had to contact my niece, Joanne, to try and get some numbers for someone who was needing a bit of counseling, and she didn't speak English. And thank goodness, because I come from such a mixed family, my niece sent me a list of care places, either Afrikaans or English, different churches that were running them. And she sent me that list. And so everyone at the moment is feeling it. They are feeling this pain and loneliness and confusion. And I'm finding that it's certainly not only the Jewish world that's feeling this. Fortunately, I do have a lot of friends and groups of non-Jewish friends, and I so appreciate their support for us at this stage of this time. I am not going to be going on for too long talking to you, but let's just go back for a moment to think about the hostages. And when I said that I would like to dedicate this program to Daniel Shimon Peres now, it's to his parents as well, Rabbi Doron and Shelley Peres and their families. As I said, Doron has had such an influence actually on my own family's lives, and I thank him for that, and I would just like them to know that we are there. Yesterday at the funeral, watching that funeral, it was a military funeral which I'd never seen before, and it was so incredibly moving. It started to rain, but people didn't seem to mind. The family and quite a few of the seated guests were undercover, so from the rain, but everyone else was standing in the rain and nobody moved, which was amazing to see. There were thousands of people there. And my daughter who lives in Israel, Shira, sent me a YouTube of the procession walk going down the road, of all the flags and everyone standing, lining the road as the funeral cars went by to go to the cemetery. It was incredibly moving. And this is something that I think we don't often realize, that the IDF is a people's army. Now, I've always known it's called a people's army, but it's only now that I've really come to appreciate how much of a people's army it really is. When you see the support, when you see the people lining the streets, a lot of them didn't even know Daniel. They don't know our other fallen soldiers. But they are there to honor them, to say farewell to them, and to thank them also for their sacrifices in keeping Israel safe. At the moment, each day we are seeing different names coming up, and all I can think about is their families and the pain they've left behind, and all their friends. And our soldiers are guarding our country by air, by land, and by sea, and it's been going on for so long. In October the 7th, my daughter Shira was staying in Johannesburg with us, with her two children. She was here on holiday, and her husband Jordan had just gone back home. After the 7th of October, after Shul that evening, actually, because it was Simchat Torah, my daughter spoke to her husband, who was back in Israel, and he said, "Don't come back yet. Don't bring the children back into this war." It wasn't called a war at the time. He said, "It's very unsettled." Nobody really knew the devastation that Hamas had caused in their massacre. But he said, "Wait for a week and then come back. By that stage, it should be over." Well, that was the 7th of October last year. And they are out. They took the Hamas, the terror organization Hamas, took many, many of our young children, babies, women, men, the elderly, the sick, and they took them as hostages. They also took the bodies of our soldiers and people that had died. They took them and they paraded some of them through their streets. And unfortunately, and I need to say this, the citizens in Gaza were also spitting on people as they were dragged through. So it was not only Hamas, unless Hamas has got everyone under their control. I don't know. But all I do know is that I think everyone who saw what was happening and has gone on seeing what's happening just wanted to bring up in absolute shock. And of course, the deniers have started. And many of the channels are denying that it happened, that the 7th of October massacre even happened. How dare they? It's almost like the Holocaust denial. How dare anyone deny something that is so well documented? And not only that, the Hamas terrorists documented their own atrocities on their own cameras. So how that is being disputed, I don't know. But I do know that on LinkedIn, I'm on with many people who are giving a very different story. I'll get back to that shortly.
This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson, only on 101.9 High FM.
This is Sue Jackson, and I'm passing something to Craig, and it's making a noise. This is Sue Jackson on the Finding Human program on 101.9 High FM. I know that a lot of you were looking forward to hearing Sarah Lister Goodman. Unfortunately, we were not able to connect with her in Jerusalem, but I will definitely be doing the program with her as soon as I can. Now, I was talking about how in this time there's been so much denial again since the 7th of October. I must admit that I'm on so many different news sites and checking all the time to see what is happening. And then I sometimes go on to some of the Arabic sites like Al Jazeera and other sites, and I cannot believe what I'm actually hearing because it's very different. Even, you know, BBC and CNN, sometimes they all tell very different things. But what I have noticed is that on LinkedIn, for instance, there are many people now talking out and saying this is not true. Now, these are not only Jewish people. These are righteous Gentiles who have come forward and have said, no ways, this is not true. I have said before that one of my favorite people, journalists, and he's an author, a journalist, is Douglas Murray. And I really enjoy listening to him. And last week he was interviewed by Howard Feldman. And then he was interviewed again by Gareth Cliff. And both interviews are worth listening to. Then I was cooking last night, and in order to be able to enjoy cooking, which I don't do, I always listen to YouTubes. So I happened to be listening to a YouTube. It was a shortest YouTube with Douglas Murray. And he was with, I'm not sure if it was, I'm just trying to remember, was it Piers Morgan? No. Anyway, and somebody else who happened to be a Muslim. And Douglas was arguing, and they were both arguing with each other. But Douglas eventually called this man a weasel. Now, I was quite shocked because it was said in anger. And so I put a comment underneath saying, Douglas, I am a follower of yours and I really enjoy your content, but I do not enjoy hearing you call someone a weasel. I just felt it was unnecessary. I actually haven't gone back onto that site to see if anyone's answered me, because a lot of people were saying he's quite right. A weasel is a weasel is a weasel. But I don't think we have to start really being rude to one another. What I wanted to say was, I have said this before, I am Jewish by choice. And when I told my father that I was going to be Jewish, that I was going to become Jewish, we had been married for about 12 years. We already had 3 children. And when I told my father said, he gave us his blessing. But he did say, one day you will experience anti-Semitism and your children will experience it. And I must admit, I didn't really take much notice of what he said, because my husband had gone to, before we were married, in the 1967 war, he had gone to Israel. He was on one of the first flights out of here and was away for a year. And after that, if you remember, suddenly Israel was almost like the hero of the world. Nobody could believe that they'd taken on all their neighboring Arab countries, and they had won. And so in a way, they were being feted, and people were talking about them with in awe. And suddenly, I must admit, so when my father said that, I didn't believe it. But I think we all know that people do not like Israel or Jews to succeed. I said last week, no Jews, no news. And if Israel is looking a bit weak, we get a lot of support and sympathy. But Israel, fortunately, is a successful country. The people are working together. They're striving to make it the best, to make the desert bloom, and they have. But unfortunately, that does cause jealousy, and it does cause a lot of anti-Semitism. They're now calling it anti-Zionism, but as Rabbi Sacks said, anti-Zionism and anti-Semitism are the same thing. So we cannot possibly say we're anti-Israel and but we're for the Jews. I was shocked, totally shocked by the Oscars last week. And I felt very betrayed. I'm not even going to mention the names of the people who actually received Oscars. and denied or gave up on their Jewishness. The one had been making a Holocaust film, and yet he really slated Israel and this war at the moment against Hamas. I don't know how many of you have noticed that even yesterday they had to re-enter the Shifa Hospital and found terrorists there. Now, I am a nursing sister of a long, long, long time ago, and I was absolutely devastated to see one woman, one of the hostages who had been released, one woman who had been taken through the hospital. I don't know if it was a Shifa hospital, but she was taken as a hostage from her kibbutz, and she was released in the first lot of hostages to be released. And she said that they were taken into the hospital. And I think for a moment she must have thought, oh, thank goodness we're going to be helped here because of the hospital. But she said there all the nurses were, and they were making the noise, woo, 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 like that. I can't make that noise. But that's what they were doing. It was in celebration of these captives who were coming in. Now, these were innocent women, men, children. And in actual fact, so many of them were peace lovers. They had worked endlessly to try to raise the Palestinians who worked for them, to try and the Gazans who worked for them, to try and raise their standards, to help with their children, help medically, and this is how they were responded to. I see now that Singapore has a lot of Indians have now been taken to Israel. They've gone to Israel gleefully. Thank goodness we do have very good friends. And they're going to be working on the kibbutzes and on the farms, while a lot of the farmers are in the IDF. They are going to be working there. And unfortunately, what Hamas has done has set the entire region back by decades. And I don't know how we're going to move forward, but I do know that Israel will succeed.
This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson, only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, this is Sue Jackson on the Finding Human program on 101.9 High FM. And my guest was supposed to be Sarah Alistair Goodman. I'm trying to just fill in with her. She will definitely be back. We couldn't contact each other, but we will. One of the things that Sarah did say to me, which made a lot of sense because I've seen it with my own children, is that B'nai Kiva and I should imagine many of the other Jewish day camps teach our children how to sing and dance and learn about their country and just have fun. Whereas a lot of the Palestinian children, when they go on their camps, it's to learn how to shoot and how to kill Jews. And unfortunately, more and more evidence of this is coming out as children's books are found, even puzzles. Showing how, showing children shooting soldiers. And the other day I heard someone saying that even their maths is done as if I've got two Jews, and I've got five Jews and I shoot three of them, how many do I have left? Now, what are they teaching their children? Children do not deserve to be taught the ugliness of the world. There's enough around for them to actually see. We need to protect our children, to love them, to show us, to teach them the values of humanity, the humanness that is in all of us. There is what Viktor Frankl calls the demand quality of life. And we are all being demanded at this stage to step up to what is being asked of us. What is being asked of us? Each of us has something different. Some of you are being, and if you only have to look and see what's happening in Israel, you'll see that each person is stepping up. They're crocheting, they are cooking, baking. I can't believe what's going on. And they're all getting together as groups to do it. And one of the YouTubes I saw the other day was, this was in Jerusalem. It was a flash mob of Israeli youth, and they were dancing and celebrating life on the streets of Jerusalem. I would have loved to have been there, quite honestly. My foot was tapping away to the music as I watched it. I loved watching it. Going back to LinkedIn, I must admit that I do send every now and again quite a bit in, but I feel that we need to, all of us, if we've got a chance, we've got a voice anywhere, let's use it. Thursday night, the 21st, at 4:30 p.m., this is in Israel, the families of the hostages have invited everyone to a moving unity event for the release of the hostages. It's going to be a communal reading of the Shema prayer, and there's also going to be a shofar blowing. The main event will actually be at the Kotel. I know that all our synagogues in Johannesburg and elsewhere are also putting together a time when the entire world will be reading the Shema, and which I think is going to be at 5:30 p.m. Don't quote me on that. Just look it up yourselves. But I think we need to all be prepared to put our voices and our prayers in there and pray for the safety of Jerusalem, of Israel, the whole of Israel, and of our hostages, to bring them home now, and of course to all our soldiers who have been on the field for so long, so many months, many of them with young babies, new wives at home, and they are sacrificing for their country. And then, of course, the hostages are still, the bodies of hostages are still being held by Hamas in their tunnel network, and which is disgusting. I cannot believe that the UNRWA, who have been blamed for a lot of what's going on in the schools, I can't believe that the UN have not absolutely insisted that the Red Cross see our hostages. This just does not happen. And as for South Africa, we remain silent. There was a very, very little thing that said, and the hostages, kind of quietly, how dare they? And what about Nigeria? And all those young students being all those young girls, students being taken as hostages. Have we heard much about them from our country, South Africa? No, we haven't. Why not? Because they are not paying our way. And I just feel I'm incredibly, incredibly upset with South Africa, very disillusioned by them. And I must admit that I am being told to wrap up. So what I would like to do is actually to say to you, please, all of you, reach out to one another. This is a time when we're all needing each other. The world is quite a scary place at the moment, not simply for Jews, but for everybody. So let's unite with our values of compassion, of empathy, of care, and love, and care, definitely care for one another. Thank you for listening in, and I'll speak to you next week.